Welcome back to Entertainment Talk. Today I'm here to do another film review. This is going to be a lot of F's. This is going to be for Fantastic Four First Steps. I'm your host Matthew, and we'll start off spoiler free, go into our rating system. We've got strong must see, don't skip, possible skip, and hard skip. I'm going to give this a must see and a 9. I thought it was excellent at points. I thought for the most part it was very, very good. I think it successfully does what it sets out to do, which both fortunately and unfortunately is to set up another group of characters. Now that's kind of not to already reach out to the broader scale this early in the podcast, but we have had a lot of, you know, since 2019, since Endgame, a lot of kind of, here's the first, you know, show or a film for a character so that you can get to know them and the people in their lives, set them up and use them later. And this is another one of those. And while I'm not personally tired with that, because you do need to do that, it's kind of become, maybe I'll do a wider podcast on this at some point, but we have got to the point with the MCU where you either show us a new character or you show us a character that we've seen before. You tell a story with those, and then you see them 3 to 5 years later. Now, luckily in this case, because Doomsday is supposed to be, I think it's next year, that we're going to see these characters again next year, as well as a bunch of the other ones that we've, you know, seen before. So it does do the setup thing, but it's also very good at doing that, and this is a particularly big deal, obviously, because the next two big groups for the MCU being, you know, Fantastic Four, granted on a slightly smaller scale, and then the X-Men, and what I mean by smaller scale is there's four of them, obviously. Aside from all the other, you know, extra characters. So it does do that. It does do that very, very well. I did like this film a bunch. I don't know if I'd say I love this film, but it's an interesting one because I don't feel like this needed to be some sort of phenomenal film that I really loved. Because this does kind of feel like the first steps. I mean, you're introducing them here, you're establishing different things about the Earth that they're on, and like the scale of things outside of that. So you're doing that in this film, and you do it very, very well. But I don't think the film tried to do anything too excessive. And I'm not going to say it played it safe. I think it did a bit more than played it safe. It had some interesting things going on, some like interesting kind of smaller details, but this film didn't need to do, for me anyway, it didn't need to do any more than what it did, and I like that this is kind of it's an introductory film, but it does have more to it than that as well. It's not a plain and simple film, but, because at times it feels like it kind of is, but then it tries some interesting different things which I wasn't kind of aware of. If you listen to my preview podcast from, a month ago or so, I did say that, you know, in terms of Marvel's bigger characters, the Fantastic Four is one that I actually don't know that much about. I know about their origins and the whole space stuff, and I know those sorts of things and their names and their powers, but there are some things in here that I didn't know about, the world of Fantastic Four and that, so I quite enjoyed those bits as well. Those were very, very good to learn about. It's interesting because, okay, must see is still it's our second strongest rating, and a 9 out of 10 is still very, very good. But I didn't walk away from this film going like, oh my god, that was incredible kind of thing. And not to use, you know, be too on the nose with puns, but I do think it is a fantastic film. Fantastic, excellent, brilliant, they're all kind of similar words, right? I would say that. But yeah, it successfully did, I think, what it sets out to do. It does that very, very well. It sets up these characters for the MCU, and they're obviously going to be a very, very big deal going forward. There was one or two notes in this film that I wasn't bothered by it, but I thought they were going for a certain thing, and there's that one particular note that I was a little bit, not confused by, but sort of unsure of where they were going with it, and then they revealed a certain thing. So that was an interesting kind of element, obviously saving that conversation for the spoilers. And while you could, with the plot of this film, because the plot is like kind of standard and kind of simple, it's the stuff around it that makes it kind of more interesting, at least to me anyway. Maybe it's some stuff that people already knew before, but like the extra layers to this film, I think do really help it as well. But see, to me, if you look at like, okay, what is in today's day and age considered to be a simple superhero or comic book film? It is, you get your little team up if you have a team up, and obviously in this, it's not, you're not crossing over with anything really. You're because you've got the four characters and they're in the group already; they're part of an ensemble already, and the bad guy threat, and I'm not saying that this is the plot of this film, I'm describing to me what is a basic superhero plot. And you have the bad guy that threatens the good guys and has hit their particular reason, and they fight them at the end of the film and they save the day. That's kind of the plot for a basic superhero film, right? It has that in there. Obviously, they fight a couple of bad characters, depending on if you see them as good or bad. Obviously, there's Silver Surfer in here, and there's Galactus. Galactus, I've never seen before. I knew some things about him. Silver Surfer, I thought was honestly one of my highlights of the film. So I'll talk about the characters themselves in a minute, but I thought that was really good. But yeah, the plot of this you could consider very simple, but to me, it's the layers and the things around it that lift it up and make it more interesting. However, what was interesting to me, and again, maybe this is because I don't know a lot about Fantastic Four, there were certain things in the plot where I thought, okay, I think you're about to do that. And sometimes they did, and sometimes they didn't. And then in the points where I thought they were going to do a certain thing, just like a normal kind of, okay, I think this character's going to do this next, and they didn't. So that kind of made it almost more interesting as well. But yeah, I don't know. I think this film is very, very good to excellent, or fantastic, if you want to say that. And I didn't really need it to be more than that, I don't think. And it's interesting because there's a good amount of chatter about this film online, and it's doing decently at the box office. But it's weird because this is, okay, it's literally called First Steps, and this is the first steps of the new of a new version of the Fantastic Four for the MCU, to introduce them to the MCU so you can use them later. I almost expected, because the next two things particular, okay, Fantastic Four, X-Men, when they hit, is going to be really big. Obviously, you've got your Avengers stuff next, but your Avengers films is a little bit more of a known quantity, as opposed to what does an X-Men or a Fantastic Four look like in the MCU? We don't know what that looks like yet. You've had, a few characters floating around, but you haven't had them properly introduced yet. Whereas, okay, Doomsday, Secret Wars, they might be different types of Avengers films, but you can give a rough guess as to maybe what to expect there. And I thought that there was going to be a bigger deal made about this film, but there kind of just isn't, and I think that's okay. I don't know. Anyway, so yeah, it's interesting. Kind of, I try not to do this too much, but comparing my thoughts and feelings post seeing the film and how that lines up with my expectations, and then viewing the public's version of that, like what's the public's expectation for these films, for this film, sorry. And I don't know what that was, the expectations for this film. Obviously, for it to be a very good film to start with, that's what you want. But I don't know. I don't know. It's interesting. This film's kind of like made some money and then just kind of quietly cruised along. So anyway, all right, let's talk about the characters for a second. So we've of course got because I could talk about, you know, what I think of them as I go through here. You've got Vanessa Kirby as Sue Storm. She was really, really good. Yeah, I liked seeing her. There's a few things I either forgot that she could do. Because the last time I saw the Fantastic Four on screen was the second of the not the young reboot in 2015. The two films that were before that, the Fox films. The second one of that, whenever that was that came out. So I haven't seen these characters for a while. So obviously I remember things like Human Torch, Fire, The Thing, Big and Strong, Mr. Fantastic, Smart and Stretchy. And then with Sue, it was like, okay, I remember she can do some, not force-based things, this isn't Star Wars. She can go invisible and make other things go invisible. And they have a flying car, which we knew from the trailer and that. And a ship, like a spaceship as well. But I didn't quite remember that she could, like, push things and do that. That's like a detail of her character that I forgot, but I thought she was excellent in this film. Pedro Pascal, a lot of people had thoughts on, like, okay, can you make, like, Pedro's done obviously fantastically well as, you know, the Mandalorian and Joel and whoever his character's name was in Game of Thrones, among other characters. Can you make Pedro Pascal portray one of the smartest men in the world? And I think they did that successfully. I think they very much did that successfully. So I really liked him. Joseph Quinn as Human Torch, really liked him as well. I'm not going to go through them all here, but I pretty much liked all of the cast. My standout maybe to me is probably Julia Garner as Shalabal, which is it's not the female version of Silver Surfer. It's a different character from what I understand, a different Silver Surfer character. So she was really, really great in that. And both her and Ralph Ineson as a Galactus, who you would have seen in a bunch of stuff. Because they're very, like, dialogue-focused characters. I mean, Silver Surfer fights, Galactus fights in this film. They both, you know, have no problem with the physical side of being a villain, but both have got very kind of interesting, the voice acting from both of them is very, very, very good, but like the kind of the dialogue, intimidating sort of villain. So I thought they were both very good at that. But no, she kind of stood out to me, so I thought she was excellent. I liked Kirby as well. Well, who's the actor for Kirby? Oh, sorry, you got Eben Moss Backron as Ben Grimm, so that's the thing. He's further down on this list for some reason. Matthew Wood as Herbie. Not in this film quite as much as I thought, but he's very, very cool. I thought that was going to be an interesting character stepping into this film, and he was very cool as well. There isn't, like, tons and tons of main characters, so that's pretty much it for the film. But no, I thought they did a good job with doing, again, the first steps of, like, these characters, how they are with each other, like, their chemistry between themselves, I thought was very, very good. They've all kind of got their own, like, family roles and things like that. They showed, obviously, the Baxter Building a bunch of times. A good chunk of the film takes place in the Baxter Building, so I thought that was very good as well. Looks like quite a nice place to live, to be honest, so I thought that was pretty good. But I liked all the characters. It's just, to me, Julia Garner stands out because Silver Surfer was very, very cool. Let's talk about pacing, structure, and the flow of this film. This film went very quickly to me. It comes in at just under 2 hours, so it says 1:55 here, which does include two post-credit scenes. The second one isn't as important as the first one, but I recommend you stick around for them both. Particularly the first post-credit scene, which I'll talk about those in the spoiler section as well. But no, in terms of, like, the structure, it's essentially you've got the city, and obviously the four of them aren't, like, always in the same scene. They have their own things going on. But had no real problems with the structure of the film, mainly because you do have, like, one location outside the city. You've got the city itself, you've got the Baxter Building, and a few other little streets and things like that, but they're pretty much all together in the same building. So I had like no, like the structure isn't brilliant, but it doesn't it does that very, very well, because I think mainly as well because you do have only a few locations that you do use, so it makes it easier for the structure to be sort of better. And the pacing, I had no issues with the pacing either. I thought the pacing was pretty much perfect. I mean, maybe you could have used it arguably a little bit more time, but if I was to sit here and say, like, if you added another 10-15 minutes, I don't know what you use that on, because this very much does again feel like a sort of get in here, show us who these new Fantastic Four, you know, cast is and whatever, show the new villains, establish them, tell a story, have a few interesting layers around it, and then by the time you get to that, it's pretty much finished. But there's room to do more stuff with, I assume we'll get a sequel, because it's done decently at the box office. But yeah, you'd be pretty shocked if you don't get another Fantastic Four film from this. And obviously we're going to see them in Doomsday, maybe sequel. I don't know if like Secret Wars is supposed to be different in some way, but whatever. So probably see them in there as well. But yeah, pacing, structure, and the overall flow of this film, very good. I didn't notice it being particularly special, and it certainly isn't a poorly, you know, structured or paced film, certainly. So, because, yeah, but by the time I realised they were getting to the final act, I was like, oh, we're here already. But it, don't get me wrong, it doesn't feel rushed or anything. It feels just sort of, we're not here to really waste time. We're here to set up these characters, show you who they are, show you the world, and then do some other stuff. So, yeah, had no issues with that at all. So anything else I want to talk about in the spoiler-free section here? I talked about the characters. They're all very good. The pregnancy storyline was done quite well. Had no sort of issues with that. It did remind me a lot of the sort of you know what it kind of does remind me of? Like, complete is not in the same plot, maybe, but like the first Incredibles, sort of. Okay, you have your kind of because you have quite similar roles, don't you? You have a big guy who's very strong, Mr. Incredible. You have a stretchy person who's relatively smart with Elastigirl. Then you have, well, you got your fast character, which is Dash, which is kind of similar to Human Torch. He just can't fly and shoot flames. And then you have like your invisible force type, you know, shield force type sort of character in here as well. And then of course you've got Jack-Jack, who I guess just like with this film with the baby when it's born, because they're not sure exactly what the baby can do yet. I won't say too much about the baby here in this section, but yeah, it kind of reminded me of the first one of them, where it's like you got very, they are actually very similar now that I sit here and think about it, aren't they? You got like very similar kind of powers and stuff between them. I love The Incredibles and I love Fantastic Four as well. So, yeah, very, very good. I'd recommend you go out and see it, certainly. Of course, if you've got younger ones, this is, I believe it said a 12. I don't pay attention to film ratings anymore because I'm past the age of 18. I'm 31, in case you wondered. So I don't really pay attention to that. Unless it's like a specific hard R, and it's like, oh, why is this a hard R or something for some reason, and sort of focusing on that. But no, it's a 12, which seems about right. Don't know if they got rid of the 12A rating or whatever, but yeah, you still got a few weeks left of the summer holiday, so if you want a good superhero film and all that kind of stuff, I'd highly recommend it. Oh yeah, the usual two. I haven't covered an MCU film here for a little bit, although Thunderbolts was kind of recently. So the two questions I usually pose about an MCU film: does this do something interesting for the MCU? Like, does this film contribute well to the MCU? Yes, very much so. And is it a good film in of itself that, you know, does what it needs to do and all that kind of thing? Yes, I would say definitely yes for both of them. It's interesting though with the first part because this is set on its own Earth, and it is a period piece. And I loved, by the way, the because I don't go looking for period piece type stuff. It's a genre I don't like or dislike. It's one that just, okay, if I happen to be consuming a piece of content, a game, show, or film that is also a period piece, then that's cool, but that's not something I specifically sort of look out for. It did a very, very good job with the sort of, I think it's 50s or 60s this is set in. It does a very good job with doing that. I like some of the aesthetics towards that as well, so that was pretty good. So I think, in terms, just to dig into that as well, I think in terms of, I can't spoil them here, but it does, it contributes to the MCU in a very interesting way, but I can't tell you here what that exactly is. And I liked that. And usually I'm not that I'll avoid, I mean, I consume pretty much everything Marvel. When I hear about kind of, okay, this isn't going to be set directly MCU and it's going to be, you know, set in a different time, I'm like, oh, okay, that's sort of, hopefully it's still good, but that decreases my interest a little bit. But this film actually uses those two things very, very well. And I liked how both those things came together, because this is set on its own Earth and it is a period piece. But the way it works itself into the MCU, while still very much being its own thing, is very, very good, and I think also very smart as well. It doesn't mean that X-Men needs to do the same thing, but I think for introducing this specific group of characters and then doing those two things with it, I think worked out very, very well here. And I'm very curious to see how this fits into the future of the MCU, and particularly because they are going to be in Doomsday, and I'm assuming Doomsday isn't a period piece set on, I mean, it might be set on different Earths. I don't know what's going to happen in Doomsday. But this Fantastic Four is not on 616, which, again, I don't know why it's not Earth 1, but never mind. They're not set in 616. So I'm very curious, once you come out of this period of, you know, doing the Spider-Man film, doing Doomsday, doing Secret Wars, because apart from people who know comic books and people working at Marvel, I don't know what the MCU looks like after Secret Wars, which is going to be sooner than you think. When you eventually do go to do another Fantastic Four film, whether it's a direct sequel or something, I mean, it'll probably have the same cast, I would imagine. Where and when do you set the next film? Which might not just be determined by what happens in Doomsday, because there's Secret Wars and then, you know, a bunch of other stuff. So I'd be very curious about that. So, yeah, I'm very curious about Fantastic Four's future in the MCU. I mean, obviously they're going to be in it, but what does it look like? And do they return to this exact time period and Earth? I can't answer that question yet. We're probably 6 years, 7 years away from knowing the answer. So, yeah. Anyway, that's it for the spoiler-free section. We got some interesting stuff to talk about for the spoiler section, but have you seen Fantastic Four First Steps? Did you like it more than me? Did you not like it? Did you like it less than me? Or about the same amount? And which characters did you like of this new version? What did you think of, you know, all the bits and pieces around it? What did you think of the period piece thing? What do you think of the way that this film isn't initially in the MCU and then is set in kind of the MCU in a set? What did you think of all that? Anyway, let me know your thoughts, feelings, questions, comments on Fantastic Four First Steps. Matthew and Entertainment Talk.org, social media, eTalkUK and Entertainment Talk, and there's information in your show notes. In the meantime, you can find everything else that we do on entertainmenttalk.org for TV, games, films, and Man United podcast. Man United are back this weekend on the 17th, home to Arsenal, the opening day of the 25-26 Premier League season. So that's back. Gaming Talk will be in a few hours, so probably by the time this gets into your feed, we'll be either recording or releasing Gaming Talk this week, because it is a Wednesday, so look out for that. Next film I'm planning on seeing, by the way, is Weapons. Looks very, very interesting. Great cast. I think Julia Garner's in that as well, isn't she? Yeah, she's the teacher in question in that film. So looking forward to seeing that. That will be in the coming days. Maybe tomorrow, maybe Friday, maybe Saturday. Probably not Sunday, just because the time the football starts and all that. But look out for that in the coming days. Gaming Talk as well. Breaking Bad, we've got our finale podcast for Season 3 for that out today. I think that went out today. So look out for that. So we'll be starting on Season 4 soon. So, yeah, keep your eyes and ears peeled to entertainmenttalk.org and the podcast platforms of the same name. to check out all of that. You can support us by listening to more of our content on the places I've just mentioned. Word of mouth social media, let other people know about what we're doing and where they can find it. And if someone mentions a thing we've podcasted on, please tell them about said podcast. Patreon, $5, $10 level tiers for the ad-free podcast review options. Look for that as well if you like to. TV and film news, Geek Town Radio is back in full swing on Tuesdays. That's Geek Town Radio on Tuesdays. And you can still go to geektown.co.uk for the posts about TV and film news, so go and check all that out over on there. And then YouTube, you can find us on YouTube, Entertainment Talk Plays, for all of our, well, YouTube stuff, video game stuff. Anyway, thanks for listening, and I'll see you in a minute for the spoiler section. Hi there, if you're looking to get started with a website of your own and a domain name, we've got good news for you. With our affiliate link with Kualu, you can click on that link which is in your show notes, which is for our affiliate link. You can go over to Kualu to get started with your website and domain name today. They've also got a very handy chat support system which is usually in the bottom right hand corner to send messages back and forth to Kualu if you'd like to ask them for help to get started with your domain name and website today. So that's Kualu, and you can use them to get started with your website and domain name today. Thank you very much to Kualu for this affiliate link. Hi there, if you'd like to get rid of the ads in Entertainment Talks podcasts and listen to the ad-free versions of our episodes, we've got good news for you there as well. You can subscribe to Entertainment Talk at either the $5 level tier or $10 level tier. The $5 level tier will get you access to all of Entertainment Talk's previous ad-free podcasts and the future ad-free podcasts that we make in the month that you're subscribed for. If you also subscribe to us at the $10 level tier, that will get you that benefit that I've just mentioned, and it'll also grant you access to request a review for 2 episodes of a TV show and a general discussion on that show, or a film review of your choice. So if there's a TV show out there or a film that we've not covered perhaps and you'd like our opinion on it, we can watch 2 episodes of that TV show or film review. So it's one of either of those per month. Of course, if you continue subscribing each month, you can pick a TV show, then a film the next month, and so on and so forth. This is a great way to support Entertainment Talk, get your ad-free podcasts, and also get some reviews of your choice. Thank you very much for supporting us, and thank you for listening. Back to the show. Alright, it's time for the spoiler section. If you've not seen the 2025 film called Fantastic Four First Steps, I'm going to spoil that film. You know how this works. If you've not seen it, I recommend you go out and see it. If you've not, you can do whatever you want, but you can also check out the rest of our content on Entertainment Talk. So I pointed out there was like a thing in this film. I understood why they did it, and it worked in the end, but didn't work initially. So when they defeat Galactus, or maybe defeat Galactus, because I don't know where him and Silver Surfer actually went. I couldn't tell you. Apparently it was a black hole or something, but this is comic books, and that's Galactus, and that's Silver Surfer, and they're aliens, and I would be like, if we didn't see, because I like both of them, actually. I really do like Galactus and Silver Surfer. I've not seen Silver Surfer for probably 15, 20 years. And Galactus I found to be very interesting as well. So I do hope we see them again. And Marvel doesn't tend to kill off many villains, particularly. I mean, look at Loki. He's been around for ages. That wasn't what I was going to talk about. So they defeat him, and then, of course, because Sue overworks herself from using her force thing. I wasn't exactly sure why she got like overworked. Maybe because Galactus is enormous or something. But she dies. They bring their son. Is it Benjamin? I think his name was. They bring their son out. And you can kind of tell that, okay, this is a Jack-Jack situation where, and granted, Ben is behaving very differently to Jack-Jack. Like, Jack-Jack would have broken out of that pram and just started jumping all over Galactus's head, and it would have been pretty funny. But as I say, this is a human baby, but I think Jack-Jack is supposed to be human, isn't he? And you could tell, like, okay, the baby's being lent on Sue, and like, okay, it's probably gonna, like, does this baby have revive powers, or is it something else I'm supposed to be getting from that? But the specific bit of that that didn't work for me, which I found a little, a little bit annoying was, okay, we know you're not going to kill off one of the main Fantastic Four in this film. Like, if, let's say, Kirby gets destroyed, obviously they'll probably rebuild him. But for the main four of them, and of course the baby as well, you're not going to be killing any of those in this film because you're going to be using these characters for, I'm going to assume right now, this cast, this version, and again, we don't know what the MCU looks like post Secret Wars, and maybe like a soft reboot element. I really doubt that this cast isn't going to be here for at least like 10 years. Probably a trilogy of Fantastic Four, probably appearances in other films like Avengers films, maybe some stuff in X-Men, because you're going to want to make the most of this cast. That you're not going to kill off one of these characters, and then having the characters have an emotional response to that, which makes sense, they think that one of their family members is dead. It's like, okay, I don't think you're wanting me to have an emotional reaction to this because I don't believe that she's dead. And not that I didn't believe that she was dead in the moment, I did, but that she's gonna not come back because we also know from the Chairs video that all these people are coming back next, I think next year in Doomsday. But I think the actual purpose of that was, okay, let's reveal like the first power for Benjamin, which is this revive or however that's going to be described type of power. So it just, I don't really know what other way you do that unless you don't have her die and Benjamin helps her in some other way, but she doesn't die. I just would have preferred something different to happen there other than she dies but doesn't die and then the rest of the characters get emotional, but I'm sitting there just waiting for the next moment, which is when she inevitably is going to wake up. So that didn't quite. I got the purpose of it, which was I assume Benjamin and the powers, because we still don't know what else he can do, unless probably you're a comic book reader. And it was interesting the whole time that he was in the thing. I blanking on the name of the thing that he was sitting in. It wasn't a pram, was it? It was a carry cot thing. Sorry, car seat, that's what it was. That he didn't try to like get out or didn't do anything specifically. And that was very interesting to me. Yeah, which again, for super powered babies, the only other reference I've got is Jack-Jack, who would have gone mad the moment that Galactus showed up. So yeah, that was very interesting. One of my favorite parts of the film, and this is where I was talking about the sort of layers and things like that, was, and this was one of the most interesting parts of the whole film to me, is, okay, Galactus is coming back, Silver Surfer's probably coming back, they're going to attack Earth, probably try to destroy it, so not just America, not just the United Kingdom, or whatever, but the whole Earth, and Reed has got the idea of, okay, I can teleport this thing. If I can do it on a larger scale, I can try to teleport the entire Earth somewhere else. So we delay Galactus for, what was it, he said 2 million years, or I can't remember what the number was. It's a very, very ambitious, very, very interesting idea. And I was looking at that and thinking, like, okay, can you imagine if, of course, we don't have anything like the Fantastic Four in the real world. But if some scientist said, okay, that big monster thing that visited Earth, or sorry, the Silver Surfer, because it was Silver Surfer, wasn't it? That visited Earth and said, your planet's marked for death. And the science guy who was part of that, or being told that, said, let's move the entire Earth. We're all gonna have to coordinate around the world, which is different time zones, at the same time to move everybody on Earth. And you've all got to be there and you've got to, what was it, press the switch at the same time or something like that. The amount of. I mean, we don't have anything in the world happening like that, luckily, right? I was looking at that scene and I was like, can you imagine the amount of conspiracy theories that would go on in the world if, like, because this was, it wasn't just like a town or one country or like half of a country or something like that. It was the whole Earth. And I was just thinking, like, in a funny way, if some scientist got on TV and said, like, yeah, that alien's going to come back, or this, thing is going to come back and swallow the Earth, and we have to move everybody. The amount, like, Twitter would, something like Twitter and Reddit, particularly Twitter, would just go absolutely bizarre, wouldn't it? It would just, yeah, there would be the tinfoil hats would be very much on. But then there would be conspiracy theories about the alien itself, of like, oh, government set it up, or something like that. Which I found interesting that, and I liked it in a way, because it would have taken up maybe unnecessary time. Is, and I guess because they know how smart Reed Richards is, and he gives a demonstration on TV, I was, one, surprised, but two, also glad that it didn't happen, that you didn't have any civilians or citizens going like, okay, that's wild, because it is a wild idea. Like, no matter how smart Reed Richards is, which he's supposed to be very, very, very smart, for anyone to come along and say, okay, we're going to teleport the entire Earth, like, that's, to, no matter how smart you sound when you explain that, that's a very, very, very big thing to do. Obviously, in the world of things like comic books, it's almost a normal thing. But I guess because, I liked how they sort of, okay, do the origin. Yes, they went up into space, something happened, but the Fantastic Four have been around for 4 years. They've been these people for 4 years, and we're very used to them. So things like, alien threats, whatever other threats, we're very, very used to it. So while that's in there, still moving the Earth is like, yeah, but then you do also have this enormous planet-destroying, planet-eating thing floating around that is destroying planets. So, I guess for these kinds of people, and for us as the real-world audience, you can buy it, but it's still a very big thing. So, especially, I get why it was in here, but when he goes, okay, I can move this egg. It's like, okay, that's an egg, and I kind of both the way his logic was interesting, but the idea made sense, but the logic was interesting. Of okay, if I can do this with something that's this small, all I have to do is do it on a bigger scale. I was like, okay, like, I'm not gonna argue with someone like Reed Richards, right? He's supposed to be one of the smartest men in the world. Obviously, he's not a real person, but whatever. Although we did have, Stephen Hawking around, who's the smartest man in the world. But yeah, there is a bit of a difference between, like, okay, teleporting an egg to teleporting the whole planet. And I think he was going to try and do it all in one go, wasn't he? But yeah, I found it very interesting, sort of. Okay, if. And this is where I found the unpredictability of the film to come into to play in a few different situations, which I quite liked. As okay, if he's successful, because it's either going to go one of two ways. I couldn't really see a third option. Either he does do this, and I don't know where you go after that, because then if the idea is Silver Surfer and Galactus can't find you for a long period of time, what do you do for the rest of this film? But then thinking, okay, if you fail, if this fails for some reason, and I didn't specifically anticipate, okay, Silver Surfer's just gonna just go at light speed or whatever and destroy them all, which is a simple answer to that situation. If it doesn't work for some reason, you probably then go the more normal route of, okay, Galactus is going to show up, or Silver Surfer is going to show up, and you're going to fight them. But I either thought it was going to be a situation where, because I thought it was at first, actually, when it was like, okay, they were about to do it, and then one or two of them went off, and I thought initially, like, oh, one of the countries has, like, got cold feet, they'd agreed to it, or I thought it was going to be something like that. But no, it was just Silver Surfer destroying them, and she did it so fast that they couldn't do anything about that. So I thought that was quite an interesting idea. What else, Donald? Is there some other stuff I want to talk about before I get to them? Because there's a moment with Human Torch that I want to talk about with as well. I liked Galactus's world. I thought that was, well, it was doomy and gloomy, but what else did you kind of expect? I thought that was interesting. Again, really do love the Silver Surfer in this film. Just, seeing her surf around and do cool stuff was just really cool. I like the bits of sort of like, okay, has Johnny got feelings for her, and the whole bit of like, okay, don't tell me how to kill the sexy alien. I thought that was quite good. All right, it's on the forefront of my mind, so I'll just talk about it now. The moment with, so there's like the timer that's left, and there's like 10 seconds on it. And Human Torch has clearly got the idea, or Johnny, whatever, has clearly got the idea of, okay, I'm going to go as fast as I can, hit Galactus, I assume, just hard enough, where we probably both go in, because he'll follow through and go through the portal with him and say, hey, make sure so-and-so, I love them and all that. I thought he was going to go through and do that, and that was going to happen. But just like I said earlier with the portal stuff, I don't know exactly where Galactus and or Silver Surfer have gone. Unless it's the case that they use the black hole to send them away like they were going to do with the Earth teleportation, but instead of teleporting the Earth, you just push. Because I don't think that they're dead. That doesn't feel like the thing that has happened to me. I am also kind of just on the part of, I just hope we do see them again, because I liked both these versions of those characters. But yeah, then Silver Surfer has a change of heart and then knocks him in instead. See, the thing is, because, and maybe I've not got my logic right here, but okay, you push something into something like a black hole, but something like Galactus or a Silver Surfer, I believe there's a 50-50 chance that they die, just because, especially Galactus, just because he is so powerful and all that kind of stuff. But when it comes to any of these other four, I guess including the baby as well, because they are all humans, like if you push someone like Mr. Fantastic or Sue or, you know, or any of the other two into a black hole, I don't think that their chances are very good. And I know a black hole is a black hole, but we're talking about Galactus here, who has, like, travelled to different Earths and all that kind of stuff. Let me just, this is going to sound a bit silly. What happens? If you fall, go into a black hole. Because I'm trying to just have two different logics here, which is, okay, if Human Torch went in somewhere like that and he's more human, I think he's a goner, and I think he knew that, which is why he said what he said. But I don't quite buy the same thing happens with Galactus and Silver Surfer, just because they're more like literal galactic characters. Anyway, let me read this out. It says, if you were to fall into a black hole, you would be subjected to extreme tidal forces that would stretch and compress you, a process known as spaghettification. That's a big word. As you approach the event horizon, the point of no return, the gravitational pull on your feet would be significantly stronger than on your head, causing you to be stretched into a long, thin shape. Ultimately, you would be torn apart and crushed at the singularity, a central point of infinite density within the black hole. Okay, it sounds pretty, obviously, very serious. Let me Google something else here. What happened? Because we've seen things like this before in comic books. Of like, oh, the character got pushed into the thing, but then they came back because they were big and strong. That's kind of the comic booky logic I'm going for. What happened to Galactus in Fantastic Four? It says, in the movie, Galactus is defeated by being teleported to the edge of the universe with Shalabal, the Silver Surfer sacrificing herself to push him through the portal. This occurs after Sue initially attempts to use her powers to send him through the portal, but is overpowered by Galactus. The ending suggests Galactus' eventual return to the MCU, given his iconic status in the MCU's vast portrayal for his storyline. I just think that they're both still going to come back. So, yeah, you can let me believe that if you want to, I suppose. Alright, that's all for all of those things. I guess we should talk about the post-credit scene. Excuse me. So we have two of them. We can kind of talk about the second one and get that out of the way, which is the cartoon of Fantastic Four, which I thought was just a nice, fun inclusion, and is clearly in universe as well because it gets referenced through the thing with Clobber in Time and all that kind of stuff, which I thought was very, very good. So that was just a nice little thing to add to this film. So we show Doctor Doom in here. And I said on the preview that, okay, you're probably going to do something significant in one of your post-credit scenes. And if it includes Doctor Doom, will that be interesting? Will it be predictable? The way that they did it was interesting, because I kind of described before that if you have a Thanos-esque post-credit scene where, let's say, you see Robert Downey Jr., he sits up, sits then stands up, you know what I mean, stands up and says something kind of generic, like, I gotta do it myself, or I'll do it next, or something like that. He doesn't say anything, obviously, in this post-credit scene. But then something like that, where you see Robert Downey Jr., and then the helmet gets put on, and he walks towards the camera, and you cut to black. Now, while it is Doctor Doom showing up, it poses a few interesting points. Now, this is kind of the only thing in the film where it's like, this is pushing it into the MCU. Apart from the mention of other Earths, which, you know, was the whole thing with Galactus, which that was cool as well. But I think it was the way they did it and the nature that they did it. It wasn't just him in a room standing up, putting on a helmet, saying something cool and leaving. Which, would that have been a bad thing? I don't know if it would have been a bad thing. But there's a certain aura about him at the end here. Like, you do only see him for a very, very brief moment. And it's this thing where Sue puts Benjamin down, goes to pick up a different book, sees Benjamin and Dr. Doom. Apart from it's just, I think the hood was up, wasn't it? And it was the green, like a green cloak or something. You can tell I don't really know nothing about Dr. Doom, or can't remember anything about him. And then he's holding the silver helmet. I think that's an interest. If that's the criteria that you were going for, which is just to tease Dr. Doom, even though we know he's in the next film. Because I think the next, actual film is Doomsday. We got Wonder Man. I think there's a TV series in December. I think, although I can't remember Spider-Man's date and Doomsday's date, so whatever. I think those are the next two. Which is interesting because the MCU has kind of got to do this thing where you spent a bit of time setting up Kang, and now you're pretending that Kang didn't happen, and Doctor Doom is just going to have to slot into his place. Because you've had no, other than this, you've had no setup of Doctor Doom at all. But I mean, this teaser is very cool. I mean, I like the angle that it's shot at. I like the fact that he's holding the helmet. And okay, what's the next dialogue or conversation between the two of them? It also poses another question, or it poses multiple questions, of okay, like, all right, how is Doomsday going to open? What's going to be the first scene? Because one thing that didn't happen in this film, and it was one of my predictions, which seemingly I was way off with, which is fine. I don't need my predictions to be correct. Because at the end of Thunderbolts, now I'm going to spoil the end of Thunderbolts here, but I assume for those of you that have seen this, you'll either know what happens in Thunderbolts or you'll have seen the film. Plus it connects to this anyway, so I kind of have to talk about it. At the end of Thunderbolts, when they're in New York, I think it is. Yeah, because they're in the Avengers Tower. And you've got the members there, and they get this incoming craft thing message, and it's the Fantastic Four ship. I don't know if it's supposed to be the exact same one that we see in this film, but that would be my guess. And my prediction, in case you didn't listen to my preview a month ago or so, was that they would run away from Galactus, or something like that, and they would have to leave their Earth and end up in, I'll say our one, the main one, and that would then result in them going into New York, the Thunderbolts, or the New Avengers, whatever, would spot them, and that is how that would line up. That's not how that's happened yet. We don't know how or why the Fantastic Four ship is being spotted in New York. We don't know why that is yet. Now, what could still happen, I'm going to use the same theory, and it might be wrong again if it is, and that's fine. If they have to do the same thing but run away from Doctor Doom, which is a possibility. But I don't know if that's actually going to happen, because... Okay, there's, to me, there's three options as to how you open Doomsday. You either carry on from this scene, which would be interesting. You carry on from... Because I think all of the Thunderbolts, I think, and also, obviously, the Fantastic Four are all going to be in Doomsday. You either open with the end scene bit from Thunderbolts, or you open with this end scene from Doomsday. Or you could combine the two, because you could open from this Fantastic Four scene. Sue has a conversation with Doctor Doom. She gets away. They have to leave in the craft. I don't know why I'm so set on that being the thing. It's just, okay, why would the Fantastic Four ship, unless they were traveling to meet someone or something, but now there's a new threat here, which is Doctor Doom. He is there. I think the other thing I said was not necessarily to run away, but let's say they've received a signal from somebody and they're going somewhere else or something. But there has to be, unless they admit, omit the scene of the Thunderbolts post-credit scene, which you don't need to do that, but there's got to be some sort of way that connects to this and the ending, and you've got to be able to connect them together. So you either open with the scene, like, carrying on right from this moment, and Robert Downey Jr. stands up, starts talking to Sue, and... Either that, or they could be chasing Doctor Doom. Maybe he flies off. Can he fly, Doctor Doom? I can't remember anything about that character. I'm assuming he can fly, because he probably can, right? He's meant to be, like, extraordinarily powerful. And he's probably the new big bad for the MCU as well, isn't he? What about if... Doctor Doom... gets away from Sue with Benjamin, like, takes Benjamin, flies out the window or something, flies away, and he is doing something there. And then that, then, because there's just got to be something that causes the Fantastic Four to get into their ship, to either go towards something or to run away from something, to end up in New York on 616 for them to meet up with the Thunderbolts. Otherwise, why did you include the scene at the end of Thunderbolts? But I don't know how that lines up. It's either Doctor Doom has run away to there for something, or they've run away. But then why would they run away if he's caught Benjamin, why would they run away? I don't know. There's got to be some sort of way that lines up, surely. But I don't know. But very, very interesting nonetheless. You've got a few different options as to what you can do. I'm just curious as to how do these two post-credit scenes connect together, especially since you do have the Fantastic Four on a different Earth. And I have no issues believing that they would get into their ship and be able to leave the Earth. I mean, they were able to travel all the way to Doctor Doom's, Galactus's planet. Like, they were able to do that, so why would they not be able to go to a different Earth? But why is it that they do that? That's the question. Unless you get rid of that scene and that never happened for some odd reason. Like, I wouldn't mind if you open with Doctor Doom or something, because you're going to need to maybe spend a bit of time with him in Doomsday. Like, maybe you open with him in his, wherever his lair is or whatever the hell it is, and then you lead up to him getting into the Baxter building. Something like that. I don't know. There's got to be some way that all those things line up. Anyway, that's it. That's Fantastic Four First Steps. I really enjoyed it. Didn't need anything more from it. Didn't need anything less from it. And I'm looking forward to just, yeah, the next steps. These are the first steps. What are the next steps? What does Doomsday look like? What does Spider-Man Brand New Day look like? There's some very, very, very good news around that film. With Punisher and Scorpion and Hulk. please, 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 for the love of God, don't be Professor Hulk. You absolutely must. You have to. You have got. And I wasn't going to talk about that on this, but we're here now. I think I speak for everybody, their parents, their family, their pets, everybody's grandchildren, everybody's grandparents, everybody in the world. I think I speak for everybody in the world right now, right at this exact moment. Please, you can start the film with Professor Hulk, but please, for God's sake, at least by the time we get to, you can do it during the film in some sort of way. You've got to put Hulk back to being Hulk. I don't know that, and this is a rare occasion, I don't know that there's anybody on this planet that would disagree with that, because everybody, I think, wants to see Hulk go back to being Hulk. I don't really care how you do it necessarily. I mean, there's a few very interesting theories. One involving Doctor Doom, which I quite like. One of the theories I saw was that in Doomsday, I can't remember his son's name, if Doom kills Hulk's son, you know, the one that showed up at the end of She-Hulk, and while we wouldn't really be emotionally attached to Hulk's son, he certainly would. If Doom kills Hulk's son and that causes Hulk to just break out of being Smart Hulk and he just rages, I love that idea. That's my if you were to say to me, Matt, how would you have that happen? That is how I would have that happen. But I can't remember right now, and it might be changed later, if Doomsday or Spider-Man is first, because that will change how that works. I have to see. The other theory I heard, now this could fit into Spider-Man, is that Mr. Negative is in the film. He's not been confirmed, he's rumoured of the film. But Mr. Negative does some, manipulation thing, and causes Hulk to rage into his raging. However you do it, and whichever film it is, by the end of Doomsday or by the end of Spider-Man, please have Hulk come back to being Hulk. We all need it. And say what you want about Captain America Brave New World, having an actual rage Hulk on the screen was really, 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 really good to get back to that. We've really missed that on both the big and the small screen, but you've really got to fight, and it's not that difficult to do. You just have to do it. You just have to do it. So anyway, all right, thanks for listening, and yeah, we'll see where all this goes. We've got some, I'm just very excited about what's coming up in the MCU. You've got, the Spider-Man film coming up next. You've got this Doomsday film coming up next. I have no reason to not be excited for them both. So yeah, very, very excited for both of them. Very excited to see what they do. There's lots of options. Anyway, thanks for listening, and I'll see you next time. Goodbye.